Blog Talk Radio.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Stack the spice, hustle, pay the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why, all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Yeah. All my life, been grinding all my life. Stack the spice, hustle, pay the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why, all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, I'm married to this gang, that's who I made my wife. Said I'd die alone, I told that she probably right. One thing that's for sure, not a stranger to this life. Got a safety full of Franklin and a shoulder full of stripes. I don't know what like myself. I say self-made, meaning I design myself. County jail fade, you can pull my file yourself. Spot rage, swallow rocks, I'm getting high myself. Nah, damn right I like the life I built. I'm from West Side 60, I might got killed. Standing so tall, they think I might got stilts. Legendary baller like Mike, like Will. 96 Impala, thug life on wheels. Up against the wall, squabble at Fox Hill. Like a mother boss, ask me how I feel. Successful street, touching them first meals. All my life, been grinding all my life. Stack the spice, hustle, pay the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why, all my life, I've been grinding all my life. All my life, been grinding all my life. Stack the spice, hustle, pay the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why, all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, I got everything I said I was gonna get on my kid. In addition to that fact, I went legit. I'm the now, according to the way that I'm positioned in the biz, it look like I'm just gonna keep on getting rich. Ah, know that Westside RSCs is us. LAPD on my, I'm a squeezing butt. If a rap diss, switch cheese and butt. All this rap money, look, I need too much. Money, loyalty, and love in the dream we trust. You'll be switching up the players on your team too much. Honey Copy, that's my low, Young Supreme, what's up? And we travel around the world getting cream or what? Ain't you get off on whoever hustle seem to rush? Las Vegas strip pop, yeah, you creamed them punks. After all that looking tough, all he seen was stuck. If you sending Mayweather, flee the scene with us. It's your story. All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why, all my life, I've been grinding all my life. All my life, been grinding all my life. Stack the spice, hustle, pay the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why, all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look.
He is my rock, my luck. Oh my God. So, hey, babe, say hey.
Hello, people.
And the best media station of the world. The world, the best media station growing. TTLO with my Yoda, my engineer, Kaguru, Reverend Dr. Dana King. Dr. King, do you feel like saying hi to my people today?
Absolutely. I'm good. How are you?
He has this game show host smile on right now. Hello, how are you? Oh my God, and not to forget my other producer out here behind the scenes that keeps everything copacetic, LaTanya Melton. Hey girl, I hear you out there. I know you in here in spirit. And I just want to let you know I love you, girl. Dr. Dana.
Yes, ma'am.
How was your week?
My week was good. I'm glad that the first trimester, that they call it T1, is over.
So with the
charter schools,
they have trimesters.
So T1 is over, which means other than me going back for some meetings next week, I ain't got to see nobody's children.
Cheering. You ain't got to see nobody
until
kid.
December the 2nd.
Ain't God good.
Ah!
Won't he do it on the third trimester?
Yes. Yes, he will.
He may not come when you want it on the first and second trimester, but on that third one, he give you. He give you peace that surpasses all understanding right there on that third trimester. Also, I want to acknowledge my Blog Talk Radio listeners, iHeartRadio listeners, Facebook Live viewers, and everyone connected via any media who supports the TTLO family. We love you guys, and we're truly, truly grateful that you connect with us and support us. on a weekly basis because TTLO, our family, we do big things every week. Every week. We have Mission on Mondays at 7 p.m. on Taking the Limits Off. Take the Limits Off with Dana King. And then we also have Healthy Soul Talk at 6 p.m. with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Man, guys, Dr. Thomas is the bomb. I love her, love her. Hey, Dr. Thomas, I just want to let you know, girl, you doing big things, big things. And, I mean, Healthy Soul Talk, guys, it's something if you really want to just get your soul right and your mind right. I'm talking about you got to get your soul and your mind right together. Go ahead and connect with us on Healthy Soul Talk at 6 p.m. with my girl, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Love you. And then, of course, on Thursdays, you got your girl, Grindology, where we talk about all things professional. I try to keep things going for us because, you know, we're trying to get to the next level. We're trying to own these businesses, not just own a business or start a business, but we got to have growing, thriving, profitable businesses. Nonprofits that are actually bringing in grand money and donors and careers that are actually taking off. So we're trying to, you know, we're doing big things. We try to take the limits off. It's not just a name. We really are. And then we close our week with Praise Break Friday on TTLO.
Oh, I can't wait till tomorrow.
Yes.
Tomorrow's show.
Oh, my
gosh. Tomorrow's show going to be good. You need to be there to be listening to tomorrow's show.
Man. Dr. Dana. Of course. He kicks it off. He turns up every Friday. You know, after we go through this week that we be having, we have to take a break on Friday to give thanks to God for everything he has brought us through. Yes, yes, yes. But, you know, overall, guys, you know what? What I loved was this last show that you just had with Dr. Harold Washington. And who was the pastor? I forgot.
D. Brandon Campbell.
D. Brandon Campbell. He was talking about his book.
Yeah, Balance.
Balance. And in that chapter, he had one that he had same old G or still a G.
Still a G.
Still a G.
I thought that's when you started commenting.
You already know. That's when I had put my whole soul. He had Target Machando on that one. Because he let me know right there. Like, you know, don't get it twisted, guys. I love the Lord. I follow God to a T. Do you hear me? To a T. I listen to him. He hold me down all the time. But don't get it twisted. I'm still a G. That's all I'm just saying. I'm just saying I'm still a G. Babe, you a whole, you the street G. I'm the G, the capital G for God type of G. But, I mean, that one was a really good topic, just to talk about how, like, we can't be soft in the kingdom. Like, we can't,
Is he playing a game? Why the show?
I don't even know what he's doing right now.
Like he's playing a game.
Instead of sharing the video, inviting the people, I feel like he's playing a game on his phone. I'm just saying, make that noticeable that this is what he's doing. Was it a cartoon commercial? The lies you tell. In the church. I cannot, not on this Thursday.
Wow.
Oh my God, guys.
I don't know what's wrong with you. That old man spirit on that.
Oh God, Jesus. But like that really resonated with me. So that allowed me to say that, you know, even though, you know, we still have God in our lives, we still have parts of the street that we have to bring out there at 9:10. We ain't got to be all the way ratchet, but we know that we got that for a reason. We got that piece of our DNA for a reason. And I'm not just going to ignore it. See? Oh, my mama. Oh, my God. But anyway, guys, if you need advice or have professional questions that you would like to ask right here on Grindology, please feel free to inbox me on the Grindle or CTLO Media Facebook page, or email us at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, or call into the station. Mm-hmm. Just call on in then, 323-870-4375. Call on in. Just call on in. And we'll make sure that we answer all your questions. Today, guys, before we go on to our first break and get all situated and all good, we're going to discuss today's topic, how to become more hireable in 2020. Now, guys, look, we want to go into this new year better than where we were this year. We want to go in professionally on our next level. We got to get on our next level. You know, I'm like, for me, that's the way I feel. Like, me and my husband, at the end of the year, which is the fourth quarter, we sit down, we do a date night, and we talk about everything that we have accomplished this year that we had set out to accomplish. So we reflect on the goals that we had and see, you know, how we made that particular impact and resolved our goals. And then we set new goals for next year. So, like, for me, I'm always about not just doing, like, New Year's resolutions. I don't believe in all that because that always consists of losing weight, you know, spending, going on a budget, all this stuff. I be talking about lifestyle changes. Like, I want to change. Every day I strive to change and be a better person, a better professional, a better entrepreneur every day. But I like to draw and just bring out new impact goals, like the goals that I know that I'm going to be focused on for the new year. So, I mean, like, this is where we are. You know, some people, they're not trying to start business. They just want to be good professionals, you know. So that's why we, you know, I take the time out to talk about this on Grindology, like everything, every area, not just nonprofits, not just small businesses, but careers, because we all started from working somewhere. And some of us, like Dr. Dana said, just love to just want to stay right where they are. They don't want to go nowhere else. They just want to be good at what they do in terms of their job. So it's just important. You know, let's talk about what we need to do to become more hireable. How do we get noticed in today's workforce? You know, that's not always easy. Right now, it's so many different things. Like, things are drowning right now when it comes to the workforce. When I say drowning, I mean your resume can fall into a whole pot of, like, thousands of other resumes. How do you stand out? You know, how do you stand out as a leading professional in your industry? I mean, that's important. I mean, some of us have been in the same industry for 20 some years. How do we stand out as a leading professional? Not just a professional, a leading professional. And how do you get the jobs you like and not the ones you tolerate? Mm-hmm. You know, when you get to the jobs, let's focus on jobs. Let's focus on the new year, getting jobs that we want. Careers, I call them, that we want. And not the ones we just tolerate for a check. Because what we end up doing is just spending that whole year being mad but paying bills, you know. And for me, I don't know about you guys, but I want to do things that I love to do, not just, you know, things that, you know, from one way or another give me a good check, even if it's paying a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's paying me nice, if I don't like it, I'm just going to work every day dreading from 9 o'clock when I come to and can't wait to file. I know I've been there. I'm just being transparent. Maybe everybody else at one point or another love their job. But, you know, and I can thankfully say I love what I do with my current employer. I love what I do, every little bit of it, because I am an expert in what I do, thank God. But for the most part, like, I had some gigs that, people couldn't have me stay over there past 5. I couldn't stay 5:02. 5 o'clock, I'm out the door, and you better not ask me for nothing. For nothing. With an F. Nothing. But let's talk about that. You know, that's what we're here for. This is the reason why we're having this topic today. So let's discuss this on Grindology today. Let's kick it off. But we're going to go to a quick break. I'm going to tag my peeps. We're going to get our technical situations in order. And we're going to be right back after these messages. Go ahead, babe. Sing a song. Because it got us hired 10 years ago. It's going to get us hired this year. There are so many different elements, guys, that we need to focus on when it comes to our resume. Real talk. We got to make sure that we're putting new and updated information in there. We got to make sure that we're putting information that's going to attract the employer. I'm going to tell you like this. If you haven't been in the recruiting process in a while, I'm going to tell you like this. We have to, people scan through your resume. They don't read that whole book for a little. They parse it,
yep.
Meaning that they look through it. And now we got these systems going on, guys, where, they parse your resume.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the system does the search for your resume for you,
mm-hmm.
where you're not even, the recruiters and the hiring managers, they're not even looking at it yet until you have key qualifying words that draws your resume to the forefront. So you have to make sure that your resume has the information that they're looking for specifically on the job description. If it's asking for someone who is technically inclined or someone who has experience in Microsoft Word, make sure you have that on your resume. Because what the system is going to do, I'm going to go into the system and I'm going to type in Microsoft Word, and it's going to give me all the resumes that have that particular qualification in it.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. So you got to make sure that you have the right and appropriate wording because, we skim through the resumes. When I say if I'm looking for a specific skill set,
mm-hmm.
I'm skimming your resume for that skill set. I'm not reading all the bullet points. I'm reading everything that's under that major little piece of paragraph that you have right there after that, but I'm not reading everything. So you also, and don't try to keep your resume down to one. If you got your resume down to two pages, you're pretty decent. But if you got four or five pages, don't nobody want to see 15 years worth of experience itself for the government. When you try to work for the city, they scan about 10 years of your job information. But I'm not looking through a four-page resume. I'm just saying that now, guys. I want to see everything in the forefront. Do you got these skill sets? Do you got these bullet points? And another good one, guys, is to see exactly some accomplishments, some of the things that you've done while you were in that particular job. What impacts that you've made? What things were you acknowledged for? What were your strong skill sets? You know, it's good to put that stuff on there. You know, gone are the days just to have just a bunch of bullet points with some, activities that you've done. Because if I'm looking for a payroll specialist and someone who used to be a payroll specialist has their resume, 9 times out of 10, they've done everything that I needed them to do. You know, basic skill sets. They've already done it, you know. But when you get to the point where I want to see some of the stuff that, how many people did you run a payroll for? I like to see them type of numbers. You know, what was the total amount of payroll? Maybe a roundhouse number. You know, what were the major strengths that you carried? You know, I want to see those particular things. I don't want to see a bunch of bullet points. And I'm only speaking that because, you know, I am, you know, in that particular field. So you look at those types of things, you know, and you have to be careful. Here's one thing, guys, and I'm going to be straight up. Be careful of the emails that you put on your resume. My email address is lisettehernton@yahoo.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's not sugar booty. It's not love dove. Bad B33. It is not none of those. On the resume, do not have a email, and this is my suggestion, people. Have an email that is specifically geared for job search. I don't even like intermingling my personal emails with my job search emails. Create a separate email account specifically for jobs, connections, professional things. That way you can take out Kitty Cat 22 @gmail.com, and you ain't got to put that on your resume. I'm just saying, guys, we got to be very professional in how we deliver ourselves, which is a good one. What are you about to say?
One of the things that I remember when I was in the corporate world was, because I was hiring all people from my department, and was looking at the email addresses.
Yeah.
And then, even though you're not supposed to, I would take those email addresses and then put them in a search on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else. And
Jesus.
Then, and then you see these people and you go, oh, my sweet Lord. And then it's like, Now, I would do this after the interview, not before.
Yeah.
To keep it legit. Right?
Yeah.
So you see these people and then you're like, don't you have a regular, like Yahoo is free email.
Yahoo
right?
is free.
Yahoo's still free. Gmail's still free. Why don't you just take 5 minutes and create you a, like you said, a Lizette Herndon, a Dana King, whatever. Right. I've had my Dana King at Comcast.net. That's where my business, that's my personal.
Absolutely.
Regular email. I got a whole bunch of Gmail accounts.
Me too.
But they will never show up on the resume.
No.
Right?
When
I'm conducting business for the church, that's under the Minister King at. Well, now
absolutely.
I'm using that. I'm trying not to use that because now I'm trying to get everything to Dr. King at embcchicago.org.
Yeah.
That's where everything goes. So
yeah.
I don't even want to, you know, because I don't, you know, that's crazy.
I remember this one, and this was 5 years ago. One person sent a resume, and her email address was getitwet_5@yahoo.com, and she put it on her resume. Felicia says, the recruiter told me, and I'm sorry, whoever that was, she probably see me, that's my email address, but baby, you shouldn't have put it on your resume because
right,
I remembered it.
Right.
Maybe that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes bad publicity is good publicity. Felicia, I understand, girl. You said the recruiter told me my hotmail.com dated me. She created Gmail, which was more current. And that's really
that's
true.
That's
really
true. Hotmail.
On AOL.com. You still got an AOL
exactly.
email.
Facts. Right. Don't tell nobody. Keep it for your own stuff, but create you a modern.
Yeah. I mean, Brenda, really. Like, I mean, you gotta make sure that, you know, you have an updated email address. Because, I mean, I still got a MySpace page, and I still get.
criminal@netscape.com.
You know, Keith. Was that your old email address?
No, I
just made that up. Move
criminal. I had a black book. I had a black man 2124 at Yahoo.
Black man.
Right.
You
just on somebody.
I mean, you was like really feeling like in that moment,
you was like, I need email.
I need something that's gonna be. That's all.
Plus, you know, that was also in your chat box.
Yeah.
So whatever your email address was your chat name. So
yeah.
I want, you know, your black man. Girl, this black man. That's what it is. That's what it is. Right.
He needs help.
Right.
His whole life. But that's how I was. I think I had a Nubian queen.
Mm-hmm. 12 and a half shoe.
Nubian Lisa 22. But one of the things,
my face still work.
You know what was so funny, and I looked it up because I wanted someone to see my song. I had a song on there. It was called Miss Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And it was through Talib Kweli.
Okay.
So when you came on,
I had my.
It was like,
yeah.
Miss Hill. I was like, oh, I thought I was doing something back then. I was like, but.
I went online about maybe 6 months ago just to see if it worked.
Terrible. Anybody still out there got a MySpace page? Felicia says, Lord, a little concern. My previous name didn't really tell me my ethnicity. Can people tell by your name? Oh, my God. That is so true. Now, here's the thing.
Consuelo.
My thing is, here's the thing. Like, I'm not going to, you know, you can judge people based on their names regardless. But, I mean, now coming from where I am now, like, Indian names and Black names are pretty much long, drawn out, crazy, weird, you can't pronounce them. So I don't really judge based off of that particular process no more. It's like there's no need to. My thing is, if you're able to do the job, mm-hmm. it don't matter what your name is. If you're able to do the job, I have seen some crazy names come across, regardless if they're African American, white, Black, Hispanic, you get crazy names and crazy spellings, and that's just it. But what really matters on your resume is the information, and you got to make sure that it's accurate. Just real straight talk, guys. I mean, you really do have to make sure that you have the right information. Now, one of the things, which was the perfect segue, Dr. Dana, when you were talking about it,
mm-hmm.
is that nowadays, another area in which you have to straighten up to make yourself more hireable in 2020 is your social media presence.
Uh-oh.
Now, here's the thing, guys. We got people out here. You're trying to get jobs, get legitimate jobs, and get employment. Take the blunt. Even though weed is legal, take the blunt, the money, the twerking, the explicit images,
mm-hmm.
even funny or not, off your page.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because nowadays, all people have to do is Google you.
That's right.
And they're going to Google you after you interview. They can say that they're not, or they not going to even tell you.
You won't know.
You will not know.
You just get that letter in the mail, and then you won't know why you didn't get hired.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if they even send you a letter.
Absolutely.
But absolutely, and you are right, and I warned people of this before Facebook.
Hi, Nikita.
When it was with MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was doing hiring, and I was hiring people, and this young man came in, white guy. He was nice and cordial. And I was like, oh, this guy, he checked all the boxes. His resume did.
Absolutely.
So when I would do resumes, I had my A-PAL and my B-PAL, and then my absolutely not PAL.
Yeah.
So my A-PAL was absolutely going to call through these.
Mm-hmm.
My B-PAL was if somebody from A fell through.
Yeah.
Right, if I exhausted the A. This guy was an A guy. I called him. He was good. Came in, interviewed well. He left out. And then for something about his email address, I was just doing a search on some of the crazy email addresses. I said, you know, I'm going to look at the regular ones, too. So I put the email address in, and my man had all type of swastikas and everything else on his page and white power this and all this. And I said, he probably left out here called me every in the book.
every in name.
But he needed
but
his
the
job.
Right in name.
You know it.
And he was smiling.
His application went right on over in that.
You know what? But that is crazy to, you know, even understand. But you have to be careful about what you express.
Yeah.
If you're identifying yourself as a professional
mm-hmm.
in this year, in this season, in this new year, guys, you have to focus on making sure that your social media presence mm-hmm. is spotless.
Yeah, or link your or keep yourself private.
Keep it private.
Up until
if you got ratchet stuff, keep it private.
Up until doing this show, my Facebook page was not findable.
Mhm. Mhm.
I kept it that way. I didn't want no extra people
right.
on my page. And,
right.
And only because of the show, it was like you have to, you know, people gonna be looking.
You have to make sure.
Keep stuff public. But
you have to
keep it out. I didn't have anything ratchet. I just didn't want people.
I didn't want people in my business.
You know, and then you
know,
work
you
with
really
me, like
do.
You know, you start getting friend requests.
Yeah,
like,
from people
good.
You don't know. Hey, Yana. Hey, Yana Banks. But
yeah,
definitely, you have to make sure that your social media presence is. Like spotless. If you have any concern and you want the freedom of posting whatever you're going to post
right.
on your and if it's ratchet and it's non-professional
mm-hmm.
and you know just know that when I'm putting in, and some people, they'll do it, I mean, even though it wouldn't be, I wouldn't consider it the best practice, but what stops a employer from looking at you based on your resume? Like, yep. I pull your resume, and then now automatically I'm going into social media.
Yep.
You know, so the best thing to do is that whatever you need to do professionally,
mm-hmm.
keep everything, keep it copacetic. Open up a, start a LinkedIn page.
And I'm glad you went to LinkedIn, because even on that, make sure you update your LinkedIn page to match what's on your resume.
Oh, God.
Because y'all got all this stuff on y'all LinkedIn page, and your resume says something different. Now, we go to LinkedIn after we see your resume, because we want to see, because your resume, like you
Absolutely.
Said, you can't put everything on your resume.
Absolutely.
But
can.
I can go to LinkedIn for the rest of the information.
I can.
I go to LinkedIn, you know.
You got to make sure, you got to make sure your dates are in point. You can't be trying to, you know, finagle the dates. And then at the same time, you please believe me, whatever company that you work for,
Jesus.
They are connected with you via LinkedIn,
mm-hmm.
so you want to make sure that you have some integrity about your social media presence.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have some integrity about it. Your LinkedIn page is really your driven professional page, but if you have a brand, if you are you know, a nonprofit founder, or if you have a small business, It's important for you to make sure that you are mindful about what you put on your social media pages. I mean, really, even in viewpoint, sometimes you might not even have the like the ratchetness on there or the explicit stuff,
mm-hmm.
but maybe sometimes your viewpoints about stuff, like you might feel strongly about a certain thing and be talking about something politically, you know, extra, and then just go in, I hate Donald Trump, la, 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 la. You could go into a whole tizzy, you know. And sometimes people, you know, read that aggressiveness
mm-hmm.
in your social media. So, you know, it pays to be mindful.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it pays to be mindful about what you say out your mouth to people, it pays to be mindful
mm-hmm.
of what you do in your social media presence. Because whatever you don't want people to see, make sure you keep it off of them. That's all I'm saying. Or keep it private. And even in sometimes keeping it private,
mm-hmm.
you think it's gone, and there's ways. Hey, Danny. Definitely, that is very important. So, one, make sure your resume is intact, guys. Make sure your resume is on point. Two, make sure your social media presence is on point going into this new year. You want people to say, hey, what you see is what you get. I am an expert at this. My resume says I'm an expert at this. My LinkedIn page and my social media pages say I'm an expert at this. And then the third thing we need to focus on in order to become more hireable in 2020 is to make sure that our professional presence, when I say our professional presence, I mean if you are a leader in your industry, meaning that you're the subject matter expert, if you had a nice amount of years in a specific industry, make sure you flex that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not so much in the interview where you have to sound arrogant and I came and I saved the company. You know, not like that. But flex it in your knowledge. You know, put some content out there. You know, put a couple of live messages out there where it's revolved around what you know professionally. You know, I know some people nowadays, they set up their own professional website. You don't have to have a business. You don't have to have a nonprofit. You can set up a career website for yourself
mm-hmm.
where you can show, like, your whole full portfolio of everything that you have done over the course of your work life. That's valid. I mean, because I feel like I don't need nobody really needs to know that I worked at McDonald's when I was 15, you know.
Not if you're 40.
It's not valid anymore.
It's not valid
no more.
Yeah.
Or if I'm in a career change, like say for instance, if I carry a specific skill set that does not carry over into my current professional status, I might want to keep that out too.
Let me read this comment from Felicia. It's her put my glasses on. All right, she says, how do you change your resume to start a whole new career? My background is in construction estimation, but I want to enter human resources. Are there any transferable skills?
That is an awesome, 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 awesome question, Felicia, because, I mean, that happens all the time. And that was the perfect segue to what we were talking about, is that when you're looking at your resume, and, yeah, you may have a certain background, like, say, for instance, like you said, construction estimation. You do have to be able to now, on your resume, present the skill sets that are transferable. So then that means that basically, when you're in construction estimation, you might want to look at different administrative skill sets that you may have had while you were in that specific industry and how those carry over to human resources. So, like, if it was, creating policies, that would probably be a good one. Also, working and managing with people or doing employee resolutions, you know, or dealing with employee relations. If you ever had to engage or train anybody, that would be good. If you ever had to hire anyone, you know, that would be also great, you know, transferable skills. So, like, if you were in construction estimation, what I would tell you to do is to put in your, your qualification summary, that's what I normally call it.
Mm-hmm.
The qualification summary, I will put out all the particular skill sets that I would have that would make me transferable in human resources. I will put those specific bullet points that would make me transferable in there, whether it's data entry, whether you've worked with systems before, like, you know, just put all that out in the forefront so that they can look at it and say, oh, okay, she carries these specific skill sets. Now, one of the things, though, it's kind of difficult. I'm going to tell you like this. A lot of people, and this is where I find it at, you come in and you have, you know, gained a certain level of skill set as a, you know, in construction, right? You have a salary that is based on the skill set and the experience that you received in construction. And then you try to make a lateral move into human resources, believing that you're going to get that same salary or close to going over into a new industry. One of the things you have to do, and this is like totally, maybe it is tied in with becoming more hireable in 2020, is to understand that sometimes you have to take a pay cut when you go into a transition into a new industry. Like, you might have been a construction manager, you know, starting off in with like a $50,000 annual salary, and then might have to cross over in human resources as like a human resource assistant, which probably is between $27,000 and $30,000, maybe a little less. And then you're like, oh, no, it's not worth it. You know, that's a good one, though, to become more hireable in 2020. And this is it's a perfect segue into how to get the jobs you like and not the ones you tolerate. You know, because you can tolerate that $50,000 because it's $50,000. And a lot of times we end up putting ourselves and allowing ourselves to stay in things that we're not happy, jobs that we're not happy in just because it pays. And then you want to transition over to another industry that you know that you're going to love, but you don't want to do it because it's not going to pay you the same amount. So you end up staying in the same place that you were. Sometimes that is the hardest place. You have to identify, like, is it, what is worth it? Is the money worth me staying there, or should I transition knowing that I might take that pay cut? You know, and the good thing about it now, guys, is the new law for the 2020, the new laws for the year, is that they can't even ask you what your salary history was. Do you know that they can't do that now, guys? Like, they can't ask you that. So we can't go back and say, well, then what did you used to make? Give me your salary history. You know, a lot of times we used to want to put out our salary history to let people know where we were at different jobs. Now it's illegal. Can't ask for that. Because now we're going into very strong pay discrimination laws. Mm-hmm. You know, we're striving to have equal pay rights for women, and now it's about to get real. That you can't even ask, you know, what did you used to make? So, I mean, that's real talk. Real talk, real talk. But overall, guys, what we covered so far, make sure your resume is straight. Make sure your social media is straight, you know. Then make sure that, you know, if you are a leading professional in the areas that you spent 10, 15 years on, make sure you flex those out on your LinkedIn page. You know, everybody's an expert now. Flex your expertise, you know, whether it's in, like I said, doing segments about, you know, what you know. You know, talking about it, doing short little lives and stuff. Just so, like, I want, if you're going to come looking for me, I want to give you something to look at. I want to give you something that you can be impressed by. You know, by telling you, these are my skill sets. This is what I know. And I'm going to give you proven, evidence of this is what I know. Felicia, she says, what I find in interviews, a lot of illegal questions they ask verbally instead of on paper to get away with that. I'm going to tell you this. You have the right, when you're in an interview and they communicate or ask you any questions regarding marital, race, you know, pay or anything like that, and it's not, you have the ability to tell them in the dark that I don't have to ask that.
Yeah, that you can't even, you know, and because I work so closely with HR, you can't even ask the person if they have a car.
Mm-mm.
You can ask the person if they have a car.
You can ask them, do they have reliable transportation? But you can't ask them specifically if they have a car.
Right. I thought you couldn't even ask about the transportation.
My job asked me.
Okay.
You know.
Because I know that, because that's the thing, because it's like, especially when people work all the way, like, I remember working in Elgin at Chase or Bank One at the mm-hmm. time, and it was like, you know, Elgin's a long way, and yet you can catch, you know. But what you do is, you know, you tell people, you know, this is far, and you just kind of open, you can say things, you have to learn how to ask leading questions, and
yeah.
then people will tell on themselves.
Yeah.
Right? You know,
yeah.
you tell people, hey, you know, this job requires this, these long hours.
Absolutely.
You're gonna be tired.
You have to leave.
And they'll turn around and
say, you're a real recruiter. You're real in recruitment.
You know, you have to learn how to talk to people. And you ask the right questions, they will give you all
the right
questions in an interview.
So that's a good one, guys. You have to also make sure that as you're going through this process, I mean, definitely go under, Felicia, she asked, where can I find these laws? You can go under employment law. You can Google employment law. You can go under the EEOC and
yeah.
look at the protected classes that fall under there, the things that they can't ask. You can Google employee rights, employment rights. It will give you all that information on what you can be or cannot be asked during the interview. And then it also gives you a good way to be able to set up how you interview, you know, so you know exactly what to look for. I mean, even though it'll be kind of bad, like, you know, you're going in and you're trying to get a job, and then you have to check someone and say, oh, no, that you can't ask me that. You know, but that's all right then. If they are going like that, you might not want it anyway. You might not want the job anyway.
Right.
Hey, Charmaine. I mean, Charmaine, she's a hard worker. She's been grinding all her life in CNA. Charmaine, you still in CNA, sis? I mean, she used to work 2 and 3 jobs in her field. That's why I say you're an expert in what you do, mama. Hey, Lisa. Hey, Auntie Ellen, all my family on here. Family? family. But you laughing at me. I should say, like, But Oh my God. It is definite that, guys, like going into this new year, you want to make sure that you put yourself and you, how can I say, you set the foundation for you to excel as a professional. Still doing it, girl. Still grinding out there. I know you are. I know you are. But, I mean, one of the things for me, guys, when it comes into communicating effectively in an interview, because here's the thing. We have issues with interviewing. If you haven't interviewed in 5 years, to try to go back into the interview process is very nerve-wracking. It's very nerve-wracking. A lot of people just, you're rusty. You haven't did a lot of interviewing in between, you know, this job and the next. A lot of times when we start looking for jobs, when we start seeing the red flags, you know, where it seemed like, you know, you start seeing all the executive team leave and you start seeing, like, you know, cuts in hours and, you know, you start seeing people looking crazy on the face and a whole lot of moves that you don't even understand why they're moving, you start really like saying, okay, it's time for me to look for a job. But you have to realize that your interview process should be consistent, even when you're not looking for a job.
Yes.
You have to focus on being able to, like, become an effective communicator because it's a lifestyle, not because you have to do it. Sometimes you know, it's like once you start doing your, like, maybe 2 or 3 interviews, then you start feeling more comfortable in interviewing because now you know what to say. You have to be an effective communicator every day. Mm-hmm. Focus on that skill set every day. So one of the things that you need in order to be more hireable in 2020 is effective communication. You have to know how to engage with people about your skill sets. You have to be confident about what you know that you know professionally, you know. And I know, like, everyone gets nervous when they go into an interview. That's like a natural state,
right?
You know. But once you get to the point where they're asking the questions, you have to be confident in knowing what to say. And that's not always, that's not easy. That's not a given, you know, like something that's given, you know. But if you do it every day, if you communicate every day, prior to, you know, going on an interview, if you call your girl up, I'll interview you. I won't pull no punches. And I'll let you know where you need to focus on and the right things to say. One of the things that I love, there's this recruiter. Now, I know, guys, we're not really big on recruiters. Everybody, you know, like, we shun recruiters because I feel like they're just coming for me. They're headhunters. They're just coming, you know, for me just so that they can get some commission off of getting me hired.
Okay.
But one of the recruiting agencies that I stand by is Theophany. I don't know if anybody knows that. It's Theophany. I'm telling you. My girl Lexi, and I'm plugging Lexi, but, you know, Lexi, if you hear this, girl, you was the bomb. When I say that, she walked me through that whole entire process. I mean, when I say the whole entire process, she interviewed me initially. Then she turned around and told me the areas in which I should say certain things. So, like, she analyzed. She's like, that's a good response, but you should say this. This is a good response, but you should do this. I feel like everybody needs a Lexi in their life. Everybody needs who's actually going in for jobs. They need a Lexi. They need someone that's going to listen and have a conversation with you. Like, she wasn't even, like, technically interviewing me. She was just talking to me. And at the end of the day, she made it easier for me to communicate. She also was able to understand my personality, the type of person I was, just by how I communicate. Sometimes we go into these interviews and we try to be a certain way, and it makes it even more difficult to try to portray something that you're not. You know, if you are a professional in the area that you are a professional in, you have to flex that thing. You can't just sit around and get nervous about it. But don't try to be something that you're not. That means that if they're looking for a certain caliber of person and you know that you are laid back and but you get the job done, you have to be laid back and get the job done. I had went to an interview before, guys. I mean, they were, I'm pretty laid back, but I'm really dedicated to my job. I'm dedicated to doing a good job, and that's just it. I feel like you'll understand me in my work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't try to portray something that I'm not.
Mm.
I'm friendly. I'm, you know, I'm respectful. I'm going to always say yes, ma'am, no, sir. That's just me. You might think that that's, you know, doing the most of being extra, but that's the way I am professionally.
Mm-hmm.
When I went into this interview, it was clear that these people were tightwad. When I say tightwad, meaning that they can't even take a joke.
Oh.
Like, if I was to say, and I'm talking about a corny joke, they couldn't even take a corny joke. Not one of the
are you the David Letterman, Jay Leno?
None of them.
Oh.
They were like this, you know. And the funny thing about it, I interviewed with like three hiring managers. Two of them loved me. And they loved my personality, and they told the recruiter they loved my personality. But it was the director.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I mean, he was tight. And it was like, you couldn't do anything about the whole process. Like, I'm sitting there, and I know, like, I'm answering everything. Professionally, I am open and everything. And one of the things that the man said is that knowing that this was my personality, I think he understood, okay, she's a laid-back person, but she is someone who gets the job done. He said to me, yeah, here we don't listen to music while we're working.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I didn't tell him anything about me listening to music while I'm working. You know, you can't put your headphones on. And here and work. I'm like, okay, that's good. I didn't know that that was part of the, you know, one of the requirements. I didn't see that on the job description, but it allowed me to see, okay, this is going to be an uncomfortable experience if I do get hired.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't deal with a tightwad.
Yeah.
I need someone who is, and I'm not saying down to earth to the point where they don't get their job done, because I don't need a wishy-washy leader either. I don't need no one that's so laid back that they don't care what is going on until the heat comes.
Right.
And then when the heat comes, they want to be extra professional. I need somebody who is going to give me the best of both worlds. I need the speaker box and the love below. I need someone that's going to be, you know, and a leader. But as we're talking about professional, we're going to go back into being how to be hireable, because I started going into a whole nother frame of thought. But he was a tightwad. He was just sour. But it was just, you know, you have to understand where you are when it comes to interviewing. If you guys need any help, just reach out to your girl. Hit me up on the TTLO DM. Or on the Grindle inbox me. Or, like I said, guys, you can always just email us at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net or call into the station. Y'all got some questions? Call me then. Call me, 323-870-4375. And, you know, we'll ask, you know, answer your questions on the show. But really, guys, amazing, amazing. You just have to make sure that overall you have everything that it takes to be hireable. Everything. Now, another area, guys, in which we need to cover to make you more hireable in 2020 is that you have to make sure that if you're not employed,
mm-hmm.
because I know a lot of people, like, you know, I have a gap in employment. Like, I'm not working, or I haven't worked for 2 years, or I haven't worked for 3 years, and now I'm looking to get back into the workforce. Let me tell you something, guys. You have to focus on doing things to develop yourself professionally within those gaps. That's the only way that you can put something legitimate on your resume to say, okay, in between time, while I was, you know, from one gig to the next, I was taking professional development courses at these particular schools.
Mm-hmm.
I was volunteering. You have to keep yourself active. You know, you have to keep yourself engaged. You have to keep yourself trending in the industry that you're in. You know, so do some things, you know, take some classes, you know, and you don't have to, you know, there's a lot of free classes out here. You know, you can look at classes and you can look at classes online. You ain't even got to leave the house. But do some things that you can fill in them spaces on your resume, because I can tell you this, people look at those gaps and they say, oh, you know, she's been out of the workforce for 5 years. You know, how do I, you know, how can she come back in and be what I need her to be after 5 years? If you go in, do some volunteer work, you know, I mean, start a blog. You know, put your professional self, like I said, you got to flex this experience that you guys have out here. You can't just put it on the paper. You flex it now. There's so many social media platforms and everything. Flex your skills. Flex what you know. You know, flex it. Put it out there. Let people know. Go on live. You know, do a daily post. Do something that keeps you constantly engaged in your craft. You're a professional banner hanger?
Yes, I am.
You sure are. Can nobody do that like you do? Not a damn another can put it. Another area, while I'm saying flexing your skills, guys, acquire new skills. You know, acquire the skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at what's trending in your industry and start focusing on developing the skills that you may not have currently. You know, when it comes to technology, it's constantly changing. Constantly changing. There's always something. I don't know, guys, if you don't see the onslaught of technical schools out there and technical certifications out there and everybody that's trying to develop someone in the area of tech, you know. So for me, if I know that I'm not technically, you know, literate like I would like to be, I'm going to start taking classes that's going to help me get to that level. Because everything is going into technology. Remember, human resources was just paper pushing. You know, we were printing a lot of papers and we was filing a lot of papers and we was processing a lot of stuff administratively. But now, everything is going into the system. Everything. We got whole new HRIS systems out here that are like doing everything from paying to enrolling people in benefits to, you know, recruiting people. Like, those systems are there. So how do we compete? You know, how do we compete with our millennials who, you know, they come on the job, they probably stay 1 or 2 years, and they off to the next job. I know for us, we like to stay put, stay in that vein, but how do we stay there, and how do we stay gainfully employed? You know, without doing the same old processes that we used to do. You know, we can't do all the same old filing. We're trying to save on paper, and, you know, they starting to save on print. Everything is stored digitally. You know, we got the clouds and every other thing out there that, you know, we need to use in order to store documents and information. How do we become more skillful in those areas? You know, and that's the stuff that we start putting on our resume. A lot of times, yeah, it looks good to say that you were 15 years in a particular company or 16 years in a particular company. But in that, what did you gain in terms of skill sets that are current to today's practices? You have to focus on that and analyze that in order to be hireable in 2020. It's important. You know, you have to look at those areas and you have to not be afraid of it. Because that's another thing, like for us, we tend to get a little afraid of the changes that are going on professionally. You know, we start looking at all, like, I'm not going to be able to, I don't know nothing about a computer. I don't know anything about Excel. I don't know anything about a formula, how to sum, pivot point, V lookup, none of that. I don't know none of that. But how do I get to those points? You know, how do I get to that level?
Right.
I mean, guys, everything. You can YouTube that stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't even have to go into a whole classroom and sit for 8 weeks to do that. You can go on YouTube. You can go Learning now has been instant, just like the microwave.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go into a school and take out a $50,000 loan to know how to do an Excel sheet no more. I mean, like, it's real. It is what it is. You don't have to go and get a whole doctorate in order to know how to turn on a computer. I'm telling you, this stuff is easy. This stuff is easy. And the way that it is now, you can learn it in the comforts of your own home. You don't have to go out and feel like you're embarrassing yourself. I don't know nothing about this computer. I don't know what it is. And you got to be willing too, guys, if you want to be hireable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things, and a lot of people say, like, when we get to a certain age, we become less hireable, you know. Oh, because we're older, because we don't know as much as we used to, or, you know, because people, they look at people in a certain age bracket and then they immediately take them out.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's not the case. I know for me as a recruiter, I want to make sure that you do the job and you know how to do the job well.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing, if you're a good leader, you can train anybody to do a good job.
Come on now.
If you're a good leader. Hey, sis. Hey, Shimon. If you're a good leader, like I had, like one of the questions that I had throughout my hiring process was, oh, you know, will this person know what they need to know when it comes to the system? And my question is, if they ever touched anything electronically, they have the willingness and the ability to do what I need them to do, technically. Because my thing is, you just have to, if you got a smartphone in your hand now,
yeah,
I can show you how to do what you need to do. You know, it is not rocket science. You just have to have the patience and the confidence,
mm-hmm,
to want to learn, you know. But I know sometimes it's hard, too, going into these new workforces. People want you to hit the ground running. You know, training has changed the game. So, guys, you just have to make sure that you're willing to do what's needed in order to go to the next level in 2020. Volunteer, guys. Boost your resume up. You know, I mean, get that effective communication going on. You got to know how to talk to folks. You know, demonstrate. Flex your skills. You know, don't be afraid to flex your skills. When you go into an interview, guys, don't go in that interview talking about you can save the world. And, you know, don't come off arrogant. You know, humble. One of the things, and this is, I'm saying it from experience, guys. When I go into a certain job, regardless, I might know everything I might need to know about a system. I still go in there as if I don't know anything. Because I have to be able to pick up the process in which they operate in the company. So don't go in there thinking you're going to – see, that's one of the things that's funny about leaders. We have some leaders that when they go in, they want to change the world. They go in, they strip up the whole department. They strip up every little process. Nothing is legitimate.
Right.
And they go in and tear up a whole place. And make people mad that they've been in there 20 years doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go in there and you're like, what the? Everybody fired.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. I'm releasing the whole team. But thankfully, mm-hmm, you have people who have a respect for other people's work.
Mm.
You have to have a respect for other people's work. I don't care if it is outdated.
Mm-hmm.
I've went into certain jobs where people were still printing out 20 separate payroll reports, and filing them 20 separate payroll reports. And guess what? I respected her the same. I love Daisy. Daisy didn't retire now. Daisy printed out 20, all 20 payroll reports.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1,000 pages every 2 weeks.
Wow.
And I didn't go in there as a manager. I didn't go in there, Daisy, you got to, I need you to scan all this stuff. And now moving forward, print this stuff and save it electronically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let Daisy do what Daisy do because she do it efficiently on her end.
Mm-hmm.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Now, if the company decided that they wanted to save money in that area, which they eventually did, then we had to talk about other things. But one of the things as a leader, I didn't do anything. I didn't tell Daisy to do anything that I wouldn't do with her. So guess what? If they wanted all those payroll reports scanned to a secure document platform, guess what? I was right there with Daisy scanning all that information.
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise, you have to make sure that you are the professional that you call yourself being. You know, flex your skills. Gain management experience. You know, management experience is not just actually being a paid manager. I mean, it's not just being a paid manager. It's actually going in and showing different levels of leadership, even when you're not a leader. Hey, Margo. That's my sister. And Pastor Angela just said, just be valuable. That's key. And that's true. You have to be valuable. You got to, but you also, at the same time, guys, you have to experience and know that you are valuable as a professional.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing when you go in and you identify, I need a company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need you. I need this job. But it's another thing when you understand that I need this job, but you need my skill set. You need what I can bring to the table. And you can professionally, not arrogantly, professionally communicate that. I mean, that's key, guys. That's key. But, you know, as we're closing now, I just want to make sure for you guys because, you know, I can't, you know, close out without telling you guys that I speak words of life over you. I speak that they're going to be awesome, awesome, high-paying jobs that you love to have available for you. You're going to go into the next level, brand new, new levels, new skill sets, new jobs, new salaries out there. We're going to be in here on a whole nother level for 2020. We got plans. We're trying to go places. We're not trying to stay in the same place that we were 2019. We're trying to be better. And I'm not talking about those New Year resolution betters. I'm talking about the ones that's going to make the impact to our communities, to our families, you know, to other people all over the globe. We going to flex these skill sets. Y'all got it. God put this stuff in you. He ain't put it in you just to put it on a paper, piece of paper. He did this thing so you have an assignment. So I'm not going to preach about that because that was going to preach right there. You got an assignment
on
your life. Mom just looked at me like, oh, here she go. But at the same time, guys, I love you. Thank you so much for just joining us. This is some of the stuff I love talking about. I mean, I love talking about this because this is what I do. I grind all day, every day. And I know you guys out there are grinding. But look, guys, if y'all got some resumes out there that you want to, you know, have your girl look at just to see where you are with your resume, send it to me. Send it to me. I'm going to put the information out there because I ain't going to have Dr. Dana do it right now because I know he closing me out. But I'm going to put it on my page. So if you need anything, you send them resumes my way. Let me take a look at them, see what I can do to help you out. I'm not just going to talk this talk.
Inbox
is
the grinder.
Yeah, inbox it. Inbox it the grinder.
You know what I keep.
Inbox it the grinder, guys. That's all you got to do. See, that's why he my engineer for Guru, because I don't know if it's the same. So inbox your resumes, guys, to Grindel. I'll take a look at them. And I'm not just going to look at them. I'm going to let you know what needs to be changed on them and what we can do to make these better. Because I want y'all to get these jobs. I love y'all. Talk to y'all next Thursday. She did.
Shit, yeah, I'm scared.